tie a bow around the superhero conversation. Had some people on the text line jump in. Captain America, which we mentioned towards the tail end.
It is surprising Captain America didn't go. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I probably should have picked Captain America.
Why? Because he's strong?
No, I just feel like my Phoenix pick fell flat.
Because I love America.
I appreciated your Phoenix pick.
That was a good pick. Yeah. Solid pick.
I feel like you didn't
appreciate not as good as mine, but...
text pick. Line loves JJ's Punisher pick. Punisher's the best Marvel show of all time.
Yeah, I said, I think it might be the best thing Marvel has done. Just on its own, standalone.
What about Gambit? Gambit was one of my favorites.
Gambit was pretty good.
He had the cards.
And yeah, just throw cards.
The little ace of spades.
Yeah. That ain't gonna fly.
Yeah.
my friend.
Throw a card at
that
Superman.
Ain't gonna fly.
That ain't gonna fly.
Bounce right off that S. Try throwing a card at that man.
No.
I liked Gambit.
You're going to do with to the Hulk with a card.
Great hair, right? If I remember
really
correctly.
Really good hair. Solid head of hair.
Great moss on top.
Mm-hmm.
Great lettuce.
No one took Mighty Mouse.
No one did.
I think, are they trying to be cheeky and say, like, Mickey Mouse?
No,
like,
Mighty Mouse.
Oh, okay.
Cheeky. English?
Sorry.
You don't know Mighty Mouse?
Come to save the day.
I have been watching the Mighty Mouse Premier League this weekend.
Yeah. Are they trying to be cheeky?
I loved Mighty Mouse when
I was younger.
Come on.
Okay, so I'm just out of touch.
Trying to win fights here.
Okay.
Mighty Mouse ain't doing nothing.
I receive it.
Trying to win fights.
Mighty Mouse ain't doing nothing.
Look, I won. I think we all agree I won.
Mm.
Superman, Batman, Wolverine,
strongly
Phoenix.
Strongly disagree.
All different types, different abilities.
Strongly disagree.
Get
I'm
off
gonna
my
make
lawn.
All of your guys' head explode except for Dr. Manhattan. We have a problem there. I'm going to figure it out.
I have agility. I have super strength.
Yeah, Simone just wanted to just...
great
you know,
pick. Dr. Manhattan is a great pick. You can't brainwash Dr. Manhattan. That's
just
the thing.
I just wanted to brainwash everyone and
can't
take
do
over
it.
The world.
Domination.
I win.
All right. Back to,
I win.
Back to sports. Third and final hour. No, third hour of
third
the four
hour
show now.
We're
this is
doing
what happens
four
when you go for two weeks. I went back to like 3 to 6. I was hoping that when I returned, we'd be doing a 3 hour show. That didn't happen?
No.
Those changes weren't made? No.
Still doing four. Nope.
Okay.
We prefer it this way.
Oh, do we? Who's we? Third hour of the 4 hour program. Let's talk some.
He just loves that fourth hour so much.
That's right. Let's talk some football. Our friend Kyle Mattson wrote something that stood out. To us recently, and it had to do with the approach of the Niners. And as Kyle wrote, it's trying to thread the needle. And the Warriors try to do this by drafting Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga. The thought was, well, as the older guys leave, the newer guys take over, and boom, right? You're developing a young core while you are winning with the older core. And Mattson wrote, 49ers may not have made a ton of huge splashes this offseason, but that may be because they're in the process of stepping onto the tightrope that NFL teams inevitably reach when they've had a sustained run of success. Some teams push all their chips in to win now when they believe their Super Bowl window is open. The Rams, good example. They won a championship. They now find themselves looking for a new Super Bowl window to open. Other teams tear it all down and try to rebuild. The Niners are aiming to do something in the middle. Mike Sando, Rami's friend in The Athletic, offered a good illustration of how they're doing this. He wrote a piece highlighting the best offseason move for each team. For the 49ers, it was Javon Hargrave. Sando pointed out how the team set itself up for the future with the Hargrave move. Said the comp pick, chess game continues. The Niners in line to score a 2024 third-round choice after losing Rand Carthon to the Titans. And then D'Amico Ryans obviously went to the Texans. They could get another third-round pick down the line if defensive coordinator Steve Wilks spends at least two seasons with the Niners before landing a head coaching job. Can they maximize those picks? So, Rami, the big question from Kyle's piece here is whether or not the Niners can effectively thread that needle. Do you think they can thread the needle? Not rebuilding, not tearing it down and rebuilding, but trying to develop younger talent as they keep this championship window open.
I do think it's possible, Nick. And you mentioned the Warriors as the comparison, or at least they attempted to do what the 49ers are now attempting to do. I would pick another team in the NBA and make the comparison. I think it's more Miami Heat-like when, and not to say that they're playing with a bunch of undrafted players the way that the Miami Heat are, but they find talent in unlikely places. You know what I mean? They don't have high first round picks,
right?
And they seem to have a knack for finding talent where other people aren't necessarily looking, and really, really have a knack for developing talent and getting the most out of guys. They keep on stockpiling all these compensatory picks by losing coaches. And I talked about it last week, Nick. Not only do they have that eye for talent and developing it when it comes to players, man, they've lost three defensive coordinators to being head coaches in this league, and yeah. They just keep on finding new guys. They lost Mike McDaniel to the Dolphins to go and take the job there after he was the offensive coordinator, and the offense didn't really skip a beat despite losing three quarterbacks along the way. That's the type of stuff that makes success sustainable and can take it across eras, so to speak, when you're talking about any sport across the board. And I think the 49ers, now we can fall apart real fast.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There have been teams and organizations that have felt or even looked like they were poised to do what we're talking about, and one or two people take a job somewhere else, or there's friction, and then they decide to leave. Things can fall apart real, real fast. But if they can keep the team together, so to speak, and by that I mean the brain trust and the drafting and developing that this organization seems to be able to do over and over and over again, then I think that it's definitely something that they can do, Nick.
I break down this conversation to its simplest form, and I always go back to the quarterback and whether or not you have a formidable quarterback that can consistently win at a high level in the NFL. And so to me, the ability of the Niners to either accomplish threading this needle or failing at threading the needle all comes down to Brock Purdy and or Trey Lance. It all comes down to that position. Because if you tell me that Purdy is going to be a QB1 for the next 10 years and will give you a chance to win championships, then absolutely, because that's the most important piece of the puzzle, baby. But if Brock Purdy is not that guy, if Brock Purdy, the small sample size that we have, is not representative of what he is truly going to be for a 17-week season in the NFL, if that's what he's going to be, then great. But if that's not what he's going to be, if it's not that small sample size that we saw, then everything falls apart. It doesn't matter. You can have a great defense. If you don't have a quarterback that can hold his own water, you're not going to win a title. We've seen that with the Niners. That's why they are not Super Bowl champions with Kyle Shanahan. The quarterback position has failed them. It got them to a point. Their defense got them to a point. Their running game got them to a point. But inevitably, when the chips came down and you had to make plays in the fourth quarter, Jimmy G didn't, Patrick Mahomes did.
Sure.
So that's the difference.
That's a fair point. But when you can put together a roster and then have the turnover on the roster that they've had and just keep finding guys, I've said before, Nick, that when you have a franchise quarterback, winning is like putting together a 20-piece puzzle. When you don't have a franchise quarterback, it's like putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. You know,
right.
You got to get a lot. You got to get a lot more decisions right.
Yeah.
Over through the roster to get the same type of results. But they've shown that they can do it, man. Like I said, it's always on shaky ground, and especially when you're doing it this way and without the franchise quarterback. But they seem to be able to do it.
Here's the interesting thing: is that we all know how I feel about Jimmy G, how you feel about Jimmy G. We both agree, pretty average quarterback who's obviously injury-prone, going through it again now in Vegas before he even plays a single game for them. Jimmy G fell into their lap. Like, those kinds of things don't usually happen in the NFL. If they swing and miss on both Purdy and Trey Lance, this could be a long process, Rami. You could be looking at trying to find the next guy for the next 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are not going to survive that 5-6 year window. They have to make it with Purdy or Lance. That's it.
Yeah, if both those guys end up being, for lack of a better word, busts, then it's going to be pretty hard to keep this thing going.
I'd say if Lance is a bust, yes. But if Brock Purdy reverts back to
who
he was.
Yeah, I just mean bust as in they're not the quarterback the 49ers
but
need.
I think we get wrapped up into this stuff. And look, again, he could be a great story. It's a great movie. All of that stuff. I've said it enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he ends up being who every team in the NFL, including the Niners, thought he was going to be, then you're going to fall short.
Yeah.
And you got to find the guy.
But if either of those guys is just replacement level, average NFL quarterback, they've shown that they can be as good as anyone and make deep playoff runs with that.
All right. Do you think the Niners can thread this needle? Can they continue to develop the young talent and be able to transition from the current window to maybe a longer window? 916-339-1140 is the text line. Of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget, we're also on YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Give us that thumbs up. We always appreciate it. Also, online, you can find us with podcasts. Some great writing on the site as well from Frankie C. and Emil and others. You can check it out at SacktownSports.com. The Cali Classic returns to the G1C. We'll have the details and more in 90 seconds.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Yes, I am back. Beeman on the YouTube chat. Nick, it's good to see you back.
It is.
Good to be back. The very least, it'll be a four-hour distraction for me every day, which is much needed.
That's great.
I did not get arrested. I know that might have been brought up a couple times during my absence. I was not arrested. We had some personal things happen over the last couple of weeks. And without getting into detail, I'll just say this. Explain the situation quickly. Again, without the details. Something happened back home. And that took about a week and a half or so to kind of settle.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working on that. And then I was hoping to come back last Thursday. Didn't quite happen. And then I had a vacation day Friday. And the thought was that Friday was going to be a decompression day. Because, the close to 2 weeks that we had gone through, Kelly and I, were pretty rough. So it was, hey, we're going to go. We mapped it out. We're going to go to this place. We're going to go to that place. And then Friday we got some...
Unwind. Some good times.
Unwind.
And unwind.
Maybe laugh a little bit.
Sure.
Which we certainly needed.
Yes.
And then Friday we got some news, which was awful. So that kind of reset everything, and so that's why I missed yesterday. Fortunately, Monday was the holiday, so I was able to somewhat put some pieces together. But
I think it made people suspicious because on Friday I was, the conspiracy theories had already started.
I saw you with Whitey, like, I think, and you said this is his last day.
I was like, Nick will be back Tuesday. For all you conspiracy theorists, Nick will be back, and then you weren't back
Tuesday.
And then
Tuesday. You got on, and you said, Nick's not here.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Everybody was...
Just threw gas on that fire.
Was wondering what the hell was going on here.
Whoops.
But we got some personal stuff, and honestly, being as transparent as I can without the details, this stuff's going to last a while, so, hopefully distraction and to kind of hang out here will help get the mind off of things. But it's been a challenging 2 weeks. Appreciate everybody, and... feel, when you're in radio, you know it, Rami. Like, when you miss, a few days, you start feeling bad. Mm-hmm. You're like, because the rest of the crew's got to pick it up. And there's no doubt or lack of trust in the rest of the crew. It's just, everybody's got to kind of pick it up. And Rami had to work with different people at different times. And JJ is moving from the back to the front, behind the glass, to the front of the mic. And Simone's shifting stuff. And, Kyle's getting called in last. So I know it was a very, very challenging time for everybody here, too. But we're moving forward. So we talked about the Niners threading that needle, and I do think that it'll be a very difficult challenge for them to do. Not impossible, but they've got to hit the quarterback position, and we'll see if they actually did with Brock Purdy. And of course, that means we got to wait to see what happens. With the surgery and the remnants of the surgery. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but I saw Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talking about Purdy, and I think Lynch talked about, how he's all fired up about what he saw from Purdy today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that, I think, a little bit more tomorrow. The text line, though, it's all Shanahan's fault and Harbaugh's fault. Better coaches win Super Bowls. Purdy can go 0-6, and he still is a badass.
Coaches. There are plenty of good coaches that have zero rings. Great coaches, even.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the quarterback. There's a lot of coaches that aren't great coaches that won.
That won Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly.
So,
look at Bill Belichick.
Yeah. There's one not to name. So
who's that? Yeah, I don't even know him.
Who? Anyway.
Sounds like an interesting man.
So we'll see if...
You missed me.
Interesting. interesting away from the podium, not so much in the public eye. So we'll see if they hit on either Purdy or Lance. Maybe Lance. You know, maybe Lance has a great rebirth here and resets his career and becomes the guy they hoped he would be. Meanwhile, there are some other things happening. The G1C is going to get the Cali Classic back again this year. This is very exciting news. Everybody knows about the Cali Classic, and it came out today.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah, Jason Anderson tweeted out July 3rd and 5th will be the 2 days that we'll have the Cali Classic, and the Spurs and Hornets are going to be there. This is great because, of course, that's the first pick and the second pick.
Oh, that's right.
You could have Wemby versus Scoot.
Okay.
If they play. Sometimes teams won't play their guys.
Yeah.
I see JJ shaking his head like, ain't gonna happen.
We won't see Wemby?
Wembanyama's not playing till the first game of September, October.
But we can hope. We can hope. So the Spurs and Hornets will be there, obviously. The Kings will be there. Warriors, Lakers will be there.
Nice.
And the Miami Heat will also be part of the Cali
Potential
Classic.
Defending champion Miami Heat.
You will not see a single person who plays a single second in this postseason playing a game, but yes. So you got Spurs, Hornets, Kings, Warriors, Lakers, and Heat. Also,
Jimmy Butler is crazy enough to play in that.
You see him in this interview. Look at
this. I do. I love the sideshow Bob look.
The little pom pom kind of hairdo.
I like it.
He is.
I'm a fan.
He is one of my favorite human beings. Same. I love Jimmy Butler.
Same. I'm right there with you.
I wish I could hate. Honestly, the Celtics lost the finals last year to the Warriors. Steph Curry is one of my favorites. I'm like, yes, I was angry and upset, but I'm like, I can't be mad at Steph Curry. And Jimmy Butler, the same thing.
Not to take this show back down too far this road, but we were just talking superheroes. We had a superhero draft and draft mockery in the 3 o'clock hour. A good villain is somebody that you can sort of grow a liking to. You know what I mean? And Jimmy Butler is a great villain.
He's a villain now?
I think so. Yeah, the way he just torments fan bases and teams as he's disposing of them.
I think it depends.
I mean, it depends on who you are.
Trash talk is trash talk.
Even villains have supporters and people who are like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. I'm saying I love Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I find it hard.
And the villain that he plays.
I find it hard to dislike Jimmy Butler in any way. He seems, even away from the floor, he seems like a very funny, grounded dude.
I think Simone is one of them. There are people who think Killmonger was onto something in the Black Panther.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
I'm stopping it right now.
Oh, you're going to do this throughout the show?
I'm stopping it right now is what I'm doing. I'm stopping it right now.
No, he wasn't too far off with his political ideologies.
Okay. Meanwhile, so the A's are facing some public opposition in Vegas. They're of course trying to get $380 million in public funding.
Oh, is that it?
And
more money.
Look, politicians, they never enjoy Rami PR battles.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to do the popular thing, right? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they're gonna try to swerve you and let you try to believe in the idea that they're doing the right thing.
That's exactly right.
So there's a little bit of a PR battle happening down in Vegas. For this A's story and then possibly moving to Vegas here in the next few years. There's also apparently some I would say push and pull with another local team, because on Monday night the A's had their presentation for SB 509, which is the bill they're trying to pass to get the $380 million in public funding. And State Senator Marilyn Dondero Loop is on the microphone here, and listen to what happened and how this all went on Monday night for the A's.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate that. And before we go any further, Golden Knights 2-0.
Hey!
Three!
Three!
You see what happened? You see what happened? I can't move that fast, you guys. It's all good. We're up. That's the story. All right. But we were listening to you, Mr. Aguero.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Go Knights.
I was listening to you.
No, you weren't.
I missed the last score.
Because you're
That's
Lackey probably didn't tell you the score. They didn't update you on the score.
It's a bad sign for the A's.
Yeah,
people
like
aren't
this
even
is
paying
like,
attention during the
terrible.
This is like the hearing to try to present why you want.
People are watching the hockey game
right.
instead.
It's so unserious. Yeah.
If it was like just Dondero Loop who was like, oh, by the way, 2-0, but the entire room is like 3. Are you watching?
That does tell you, yeah, exactly. That tells you how much people are paying attention to what's actually happening in that room right there. That's a bad sign, man, for the A's.
Good luck in Vegas. If you get there.
I hope it falls through.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I hope it falls through, and John Fisher looks like the clown that he has been. And the A's end up staying in the Bay Area, and they force Fisher out with a new owner and a new stadium.
I legitimately, at this moment in time, on May 31st, 2023, that might be the thing I'm rooting hardest for in the world of sports.
Yes.
Is that this Vegas A's thing falls through, and they make an ass of John Fisher, and he has to sell the team.
The Celtics are out right now.
Yes.
This is the hardest thing that I'm rooting for.
I'm right there with you. For real.
Front of the line, baby.
Just to show Rob Manfred and John Fisher, just to get so they get their comeuppance.
Next, we'll talk two contending NBA teams who have hired new head coaches and completely. So while I was gone, Adrian Griffin got the head coaching gig in Milwaukee. And interesting context with that hiring, Rami. Our friend John Gambadoro, 98.7 FM in Phoenix, had said before that hiring was made, here's what Gambadoro said on the air. I think that Griffin is going to get the Milwaukee job because Giannis wants him. There's like a butting of the heads in Milwaukee from what I'm being told, because you've got the owner, you've got the GM, you've got Giannis. They want to keep Giannis, and they want to keep Giannis happy. Adrian Griffin is his choice. That's who he wants. Now, I have heard that there's a good chance that Philly is going to make a play for Nurse, that Philly's going to want Nurse. Obviously, Gambadoro hit on both of those. He has very good sources. He is right a lot more than he is wrong. And he nailed both picks for the head coaches in those spots, right? He nailed Griffin going to Milwaukee. He nailed Nurse going to Philly. Now, here's what's interesting to me, Rami. Again, Giannis had the call for Griffin. That's what Gambadoro said. I'm going to believe Gambadoro because he's the only dude that was out there saying Adrian Griffin is the guy because Giannis wants him, and then he ends up getting hired.
Mm-hmm.
So Giannis called the shot for the head coach in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Philadelphia hires Nurse, and from what you read, one of the major reasons why Nurse is in Philadelphia is because of the relationship he has with the GM, Daryl Morey. So you have two teams. And this is what's very fascinating to me. You've got two teams that you would qualify as contenders. You've got two teams that have an MVP at the center of the roster. You've got Embiid in Philly. You've got Giannis in Milwaukee. You've got two teams that are facing very difficult decisions this offseason. Will Philly lose James Harden, right? And how do they recover from that if they do? Milwaukee, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton could be gone. Jrue Holiday is 33, 34 years old. Giannis, people are wondering, you know, is this the time in the next year or two that Giannis does indeed leave Milwaukee? So two critical times for two contending teams in the same conference. One pretty much acquiesced to their star player and said, Giannis, we want to keep Giannis. If Giannis wants Griffin, we're going Griffin. Like, it almost doesn't matter what the GM or owner thought. Giannis wants him, Giannis gets him. Meanwhile, in Philly, coming off of an MVP season, now I'm sure Joel Embiid was talked to. I don't think it was like they called him and he's like, whoa, really? Nick Nurse? But it doesn't sound like it was a hire Nick Nurse or this is a disaster, right? So one team goes with kind of the standard practice, the traditional GM guy or woman at the top of an organization making that decision and bringing the coach in. One went with the more evolved, current NBA player power kind of feel and allowed Giannis to pretty much choose the guy he wanted to coach the team. Which approach do you lean towards? If you're a fan and you follow the Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather have the GM make the call or the superstar player make the call?
I don't. I find I find it hard to believe that Giannis is like, it's Adrian Griffin or nobody and I'm out. You know, he just does, he doesn't strike me as that type of guy. But, Nick, I'm trying, and especially in the NBA, more than any other sport, you got to keep your superstars happy. You have to, especially when we're a year away from talking about another Giannis extension, legitimately him getting another extension with the Bucks, or him deciding not to take that extension and go test the free agent waters. Man, if you miss on Adrian Griffin, you'll be able to hire another coach and you'll have Giannis locked up in a new contract by then because you made him happy with this hire. If you have a disgruntled Giannis and he walks away, Adrian Griffin doesn't do a damn thing for you, man. Superstars in this league are far more valuable than coaches. If getting Adrian Griffin was the only way to keep Giannis happy, and again, I don't know that that was necessary. I believe Gambo, and he has great sources. I agree with you there. If that was indeed the only way to keep him happy, then yeah, you do it, man. You do it, and you keep him there, and you hope it works, and if it doesn't, you'll get another shot at it working because you'll still have Giannis.
Now, if Gambadoro is correct, and this really came down to, hey, Giannis wants Griffin, so Griffin's going to be the guy, which that makes it certainly sound like this was Giannis's decision, right? Like, that's why they're going to bring him in, because he's Giannis's guy. I would rather have a situation where you have the GM get input from the superstar, but the GM makes the decision and picks the guy that he wants or the woman that he wants. I think that's best for everybody. Like, here's my pushback on the Giannis thing. If you win, Giannis is going to stay. So pick the right guy. Giannis might be upset for a month or two if Griffin, his guy, isn't the one that's picked. But ultimately, Giannis just wants to win. The dude, we know Giannis. He's the ultimate competitor. All he wants to do is win.
But like we just said, Nick, one team wins a championship every year, and you might have a championship team on paper. If it doesn't work, if you're not that one team holding up the trophy,
I think
Giannis didn't get his coach, he might be walking.
I have to believe, off of Giannis saying that, you know, losing in five games to Miami was not a failure, I've got to believe that Giannis is a little bit more reasonable than that. I don't think it would be championship or bust. I think if you're consistently making deep runs in the playoffs with a new coach, I think Giannis would be fine. I think Giannis would look at it and say, yeah, you know what? We're winning. We're winning most of our games. We're a top two or three seed. We're getting into the playoffs. You know, we're winning. We're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals or you know, whatever that ultimate result would be with that new coach. I think he would look at it and be fine with it. Like, I understand player power. Just kind of like, and I don't want to say that Giannis are these two guys, and I hope you understand that he's definitely not these two guys. But it kind of reminds me of like the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant thing when they first got to Brooklyn, where it was like, we could coach a team.
Yeah.
Anybody could coach a team.
Sure, why not Steve Nash?
Like, just because you're a great player doesn't mean that you could pick the best coach. Like, that is the GM's role. And so I don't like the idea of being too far in. Yes, of course, he has a seat at the table. Every star does. It's like the NFL with the quarterback. Yes, they're going to have a seat at the table. You're going to talk to them about it. I would also say just because you brought Giannis's guy in doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay. Doesn't guarantee he's going to stay. If you bring Griffin in and you're losing, guess what? Giannis might leave. So it's kind of crazy because if you chose Griffin to be the guy because Giannis wanted him, and if, you know, Griffin fails, and I'm not saying he will, former Boston Celtic, hope he doesn't. Say if Griffin fails and Giannis leaves, well, Giannis left because the coach failed you, which was the coach that Giannis wanted, which really stinks. And I just wonder when this thing happens, when something like this happens, if Griffin doesn't work out, then who gets held accountable? Giannis ain't getting fired. GM's going to get fired because he followed his superstar.
I think the GM gets at least one more hire. And maybe you don't give Giannis as much input the next time around if this blows up in your face. And like I said, by then, Giannis is either in the twilight of his career or already locked up into a long-term contract. And you'll get another crack at it with another head coach.
Look, there's the right answer is if they win. The approach that brings the best coach.
And as I've said before, even if you don't value a guy's opinion, make him believe you do. You know what I mean? That's the best route to take. Lie to him if you have to and make him believe you're listening.
Make him believe that you made the choice.
Yes, exactly.
But all that matters is winning. And again, if they didn't bring in Giannis's guy, does it put more pressure on you to win? Abso-freaking-lutely. But ultimately, you're bringing in the coach because you think you're going to win games with that coach. Mm-hmm. So if you win games, Giannis is more likely to stay. If you lose, he's more likely to go. That's it. It's pretty simple to me. Want to remind you that all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda is your one-stop Honda shop. A classic Run CMC. Bert Kreischer is a very funny human being.
I love that man.
He is he's a joy to watch. My friend Ryan in Virginia Beach was the first person to kind of point me into the direction of the machine. And honestly, the first time I saw one of his specials, I wasn't like, whoa, this is very funny. But then I kind of just started to like his style, and more and more I started to like him. And now...
That's what it is.
Yeah, the last special I watched with Kelly, like, yeah, this was like 2 months ago. It was pretty funny. It was good.
He's like one of the most likable people out there.
He is.
And I don't know if he does this intentionally or some people are just this type of person. He kind of stays away from everything that divides us and is just a genuinely good, fun, funny person who apparently is fun to be around also.
Yes. I would love to be in that space. I would love to see more people be in that space. The, you know, non-polarizing,
yes,
non-yelling and picking sides and planting the flags and all of that stuff. For me, it happens way too often in this world, but I digress. He also has a movie coming out,
The Machine, which is based on a true story.
Yeah, that's the first special I saw was when he told the whole Machine story.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look up Bert Kreischer. Look up The Machine. It's a very, very funny and unbelievable and wild story.
It's a wild story, man.
It is. It's insane.
Involving the Russian mob and a stand-up comedian.
So Kreischer was on the Rich Eisen show recently, and he brought up a story that had to do with Run CMC, Christian McCaffrey of all people. Here's Kreischer.
I got real drunk and cornered Christian McCaffrey, and I was drunk, and I go, hey, do you think I can catch you? And he goes, what? I said, in this room, $10,000, I can catch you. And he was like, what are you talking about?
To Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said, just in this room. It's like, you know, 20 by 30 by 30. I said, give me 20 minutes. Do you think I'd ever catch you and hold you down? Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, man, there are dudes that are 10 times more athletic you can train all year and can't catch me. He goes, I don't think you can catch me. I go, you want to try? He's like, what kind of party is this turning into?
That was fun.
Now, let me ask you. I'm going to ask everybody on this show. 0 to 100% chance.
Yes.
What chance does Bert Kreischer actually have? What chance would he actually have in being able to grab Christian McCaffrey? Again, this is not a wide open space. It's a, what do you say, 20 by 20,
20
by 30?
30, yeah.
So what chance would you give him? 0% to 100%. Simone, what chance would you give a drunk Bert Kreischer to catch Run CMC?
Yeah, I forgot about that element. Oh, I'm going down
4%.
And that's generous. That's generous.
Really?
Yeah.
4%. JJ.
I was right around there. I was thinking about 5%.
5%? Rami.
You guys are going to think I'm crazy.
Don't say it.
It's like 20%? 30%?
I was thinking like 20 too.
Right?
Like 15, 20%.
First of all, it's a closed space.
It's all about angles.
It's all about angles. And you might not know this about Bert Kreischer, and he doesn't look like it. Athlete. Bert Kreischer, athlete. You can Google it. There are all sorts of feats of his athleticism out there on the internet. He's one of those, I call him fit fat. You know what I mean? like the big dude who somehow can ball at the YMCA and is running up and down the court, making all the fancy between the legs passes and crazy finger roll layups. Bert Kreischer, athlete. I give him at least a 20% chance of catching Christian McCaffrey in a closed space.
How long are we giving him?
He said half an hour.
When I go to Google Bert Kreischer, athlete.
By the way,
uh-huh.
Justin
it
Wise
comes up as athlete's foot, so I don't know what you're serving.
Maybe he had a bad case of it. By the way, Justin Wise in the YouTube chat says, are we talking tag as in touch him or tackle him? No, grab him.
Grab him.
Yeah, he wants to grab him.
Grab.
Yeah,
he said grab.
Like, so
get a hold of him.
The only thing I say is he said for a long time, though. I think he said like 20, 30 minutes. That's too long. You'd be tired. If you give me two to four minutes, not a shot. He's not grabbing.
No, 2 to 4 minutes, probably not. No. But
But 20 minutes, you'll be tired. Everybody be tired. 100%. Run around for 30 minutes and see what happens.
Swiping his elbows away, his forearms away. Ugh, forget about it, dude. Ugh.
Bert Kreischer, athlete, Googled. Joe Rogan surprised by Bert Kreischer's athleticism.
I'm looking at it right now.
Joe Rogan, that's not surprising.
Yeah, it's not
give
a,
me somebody
a
else. What else we got?
Yeah. Source, yeah.
That dude's not athletic either.
I don't know. Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's overrated.
You
man.
Can feel a certain way about his life and or whatever his points of view, athletic. But the dude was like he was a pretty crazy kickboxer, professional kickboxer.
I'm telling you, Bert Kreischer is an athlete. I give him a chance. Especially if it's 20, 30 minutes to get it done.
Yeah, then 100%. That's what I'm saying. Give me in a time frame. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
I obviously can't listen to it, but he was on Bussin' with the Boys, and it asks like if he played professional football. So I don't
telling
know.
Telling you. Hey, man, there are defensive linemen out there that look like Christian McCaffrey, or that look like Bert Kreischer. You wouldn't give them a chance to catch Christian McCaffrey?
That's what I first
thought. I think
thought.
We're looking at body type and just counting the man out immediately. And I'm telling you, big folks can move too sometimes.
You said he was drunk, though.
He was. He's always. But he's always.
Okay.
Drunk.
That can help, though. He's inebriated.
Yeah, that might help. Yeah. If that's just your natural state, that might actually help.
I think
help.
You might slip through them that way.
I think McCaffrey had probably had a few, too, based on the setting.
Which also has to play a role.
I think he could do it.
But you're going to power through because you're not going to feel much.
Yeah.
You know? You'd be a little more nimble.
I think he could do it. I 100% think he, well, not 100%, but I think it's a possibility that he could do it.
I was going to say 100% might be a bit much.
No, but he could do it.
Now I'm like trying to.
I give Bird a chance.
Now I'm trying to.
He is the machine after all.
Yes, just says Joe Rogan surprised by Kreischer's athleticism despite being a drunk. I'm trying to see, like...
like some of the feats of athleticism?
Well, no, because I saw a picture of him in, like, a football uniform, and it looked like high school or college. Did he play, like...
Oh, I don't know.
I'm trying to see if he played, like, college football or at least, like, something.
Yeah, I don't know how long his football career lasted, but I'm telling you.
All right, so Tom Segura. Tom Segura, since you guys...
Oh, I love Tom too.
Okay, so now you'll listen to him and not Joe Rogan. So here's what Segura said.
We will.
Here's what
I'll be the first one to say that.
I'm not saying take advice from Joe Rogan. I'm just telling you. You know, Joe Rogan's a friend of his.
He's around athletes. Yeah. Joe Rogan is a UFC announcer. He's around athletes. He knows athletes.
So Segura said on Rogan's podcast, they were talking about playing tennis against Kreischer. And
no way.
Segura said, quote, he was bleeping unbelievable. The thing is, he didn't even prepare for it. He turned up hungover with beers in his hoodie pouch.
Oh, my God.
His serve was phenomenal.
I love this man.
For someone
his serve was phenomenal.
Yeah, he says, for someone who's not actively playing, he could kick serves, put spin on it. It was crazy.
Some dudes are just natural athletes, man. I'm telling you, Bert Kreischer might be one of those guys. I'm telling you. By the way, Tom Segura, not one of those guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's look at the source again.
Did you ever see the video of Tom Segura trying to dunk a basketball?
I'm sorry, I'm picking his friends, people that know him. I can't change his friends, Simone, okay? I don't know the man personally.
I'm steadfast in my 4% that he cannot catch our CMC.
The video of Tom Segura trying to dunk a basketball, though, is epic. And Bert Kreischer is there, too. It goes badly. Tom falls, at least three parts of his body bend in ways they shouldn't bend, and then Bert Kreischer runs up to him and he just says, I got you, buddy.
Did he pick him up?
He tries to cradle him in his arms.
And was he successful?
I mean, he cradled him, but he didn't do anything to help. The man broke his whole body. He literally broke his whole body.
I mean, I don't want to laugh. But.
No, it was hilarious. They laugh about it, too. It was great. I'll show you during the break. We'll all have a good laugh.
All right, I'll come in there.
Are you still looking for Bert Kreischer's football career?
No, I'm looking at Joe Rogan, who somebody said he's not a professional kickboxer.
Oh, okay.
He was an amateur. He was an amateur kickboxer. I apologize. He didn't go fully pro.
I made the mistake of pulling up the Tom Segura video while we're on the air. And now I'm just gone. Now I'm just lost.
They just fold like an accordion? Is that what happens?
Oh, no. There goes Robin.
There is no getting me back from this, I'm telling you.
Was it a 10-foot regulation?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his foot just, oh, my God. His foot just slips out from under him.
Why was he trying to dunk a basketball?
I think he had a bet with Bert Kreischer that he could.
Now, I'm imagining like this is like the Kevin Durant right under the rim
situation.
Oh,
so much worse.
Oh, worse. Okay.
So
all
much
right.
worse.
Segura is only 6 feet tall. What's he thinking?
I don't know.
And what Rami's not telling you is Bert Kreischer did a 360 shortly after Segura tried to. By the way,
between the legs,
New York Post just reported that Shannon Sharp is leaving Undisputed.
Really? Ooh. Finally got sick of Skip's crap, huh? Ooh. Good for him, because I like Shannon, but I can't watch that show.
And Pat McAfee's gonna make $85 million with ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Are you connecting dots right now?
This seems like a cash grab.
No dots being connected. Now I'm just going to like Google and go down the rabbit hole of Bert Kreischer in his whole story. All right, speaking of stories, the top story coming up.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.